Good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful day we have had. Started out a little gray, but the sun is now shining, and most importantly, the Son of God shines in our hearts, and we come together this day to worship Him, to encourage each other, and we welcome you personally to our assembly here at Northeast, and we want to welcome those who are joining us online as well. Thank you for taking the time this morning to be with us. I don't know how many of you have heard of this man that you see on the screen, but his name is George Meagan, and he made the news in a big way back in the late 70s and the early 80s when he became the man who became famous for taking the longest walk ever. Holds 7 or 8 world records. One of those was accomplished when he started at the foot of South America and traveled for 2,542 days or 2,452 days, something like that. But it was a lot of days over several years. Started at the southern tip of South America and walked all the way to the north of the Arctic Circle, to the northern part of Alaska. 19,019 miles he walked it. Now, he had to rest in between and stay places in between, but he did that walk by himself. Now, some people on that trip, they joined him on that journey. He had one stop where he got to actually see President Carter and visited with him on that journey. In that journey in this northern part of South America from Colombia going into Panama is a very dangerous area. I don't recommend you ever take that walk. He actually faced some people who shot at him and somebody tried to attack him with a knife, but thankfully he survived. And in that journey, he took some 41 million steps. So those of you, how many of you try to get your steps in? How many of you have one of those devices, you know, where you're keeping track and then maybe you don't reach your goal, so you stand there and do this, you know, to add it up, or you do like this. I've seen some of you do that. Yeah, I'm walking. I'm getting my steps in. Yeah. Well, he actually did it. And he did it for a purpose. He had some causes that he believed in. He not only was former military, but he was an educator and an advocate for education. So he took that journey. And we're taking a journey too. And our journey, while it may not be like his journey, we've been talking about discipleship and we've been talking about our walk. So we have a pair of walking shoes on the screen. Actually, if you're taking a long walk, that's probably not what you want to take a long walk or a long hike in. This man that I was telling you about, he wore out 12 pairs of hiking boots on that journey. 12 pairs of hiking boots. But that was quite a journey. But we're on a journey. We're on the way. And so I asked you at the beginning of this series the question, well, where are you going? Where are you headed? We're all headed somewhere. We're all going in some direction. And that's especially pertinent when we talk about being followers of Jesus as his disciples. Jesus said, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me where I am going. And in that discourse in the book of John, Jesus is talking to the disciples there in John 14. And you remember that one of the disciples asked him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Where are you headed? And of course, he was getting ready to die and then go to the Father eventually after his resurrection. And Jesus said, you can't go with me, but I'm preparing a place for you, a way for you, so that where I am, I may come and get you and take you back to where I am. You see, our journey, our way, our walk is far more important than what George Meagan did, as important and historic as that may be. Because our journey is leading ultimately to eternity with the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. And we've been looking at what this means if we call ourselves disciples of Jesus. What does that mean for us? We have seen in our study that that means following Jesus will sometimes bring a cost. Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship. He said, if you're not willing to give up everything, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me daily, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Those are challenging words. And then in this same discourse, we looked at the challenging words of Jesus when he told them that they are called to bear fruit, and he's chosen them, you and me, to bear fruit in our lives that can be seen by others. Jesus said on another occasion, by their fruits you will know them. And so we ask the question, what do people see in you? A tree is recognized by its fruit. But we also saw that this journey, this walk, this process is not one that we do on our own. We don't just pull ourselves up by our own walking boot straps. We have Jesus to be with us and abide with us, and we abide in him. And as last week we looked at this important concept of understanding that in that relationship with Jesus, he is with us. We are dwelt in by the Holy Spirit. And so we have a living relationship with a living Savior who lives in us. This morning, I want to shift in a direction that our Bible classes this morning were already talking about, and that is this idea that not only do we need Jesus, and it's most important that we have Jesus and lean on Jesus and the power of His Spirit and the power of prayer and all the things He gives us to accomplish discipleship, but you learned this morning, if you were in Bible class, that we're also shaped by community. By the relationships that we have within the body of Christ with fellow disciples. I can't do it without you, and you cannot do it without me. We need each other. And so in the context here, as Jesus is talking about what it means to be a disciple, as he is talking about what it means to bear fruit and be fruitful, right in the middle of that section there in John 15, Jesus challenges them. He's challenging us. He's challenging you. What does that mean in terms of your relationship with your fellow disciples? And he says something here. I want you to do this. I want you to love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one who would lay down his life for his friends. I want you to think about that just a minute. I want you to let that just sink in. The Lord, the God of this universe, who created all things and upholds everything by his power and his will, who is high above us, in ways that we can't imagine. He condescended to us by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ so that he could not only show us how to live, but so he could die for us, so he could take your place and my place so that we might live. He laid down his life because he loves you. And he wants you to be his friend. Jesus said to these disciples, I'm not just calling you servants now. I'm going to call you my friends. And he gives several reasons for that. But isn't it nice to know that we can be called friends because we weren't always called friends? If you go to a passage like the one in Romans chapter 5 when Paul is talking about the love of God and who we are in Jesus. And he says we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is shown in our hearts by the love that is poured out in our lives. We can face suffering and difficulties, and we can walk by that faith that makes a difference in how we live. But right after that, he says in the fifth chapter, he says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were powerless, when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were under his wrath, and while we were his enemies. That's what God has done for us. He has turned our lives upside down, brought us into a new reality. Those who were under his wrath and deserving of his wrath because of our sin, because of your sin, because of my sin, God invites us to be his friends again. And so, Jesus says, I want you to love one another as I've loved you. What does it mean to love? What does it mean to love? I think most importantly, as we start out, I think we need to understand in terms of what motivates us and what makes us tick and what makes us do what we do. If we don't have love, if we aren't motivated by love, even we may do some good things, we may even do some obedient things, we may do good to some people, and we might even obey some commands. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're loving the way the Lord is calling us to love as his disciples. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you might have the ability to speak in the tongues of men and angels, and you might have the ability to know all things and have and be able to speak prophecy, and you may even sacrifice yourself in some way and give your body to be burned or sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And Paul says there, if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. What is moving you? What's your motive? Jesus has a lot to say in this discourse with the disciples about love and obeying commands, and he ties those ideas together. And it's important to understand that we can obey God or do some good things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we are loving the way God is calling us to love. You can obey some without loving. You can do some good without loving. But you can't love in the way that Jesus is calling you to love without doing, without serving, without obeying. This whole issue of the motives and the hearts is something that we need to talk about a lot. A lot. And we need to understand the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. There are four different Greek words that are used to describe love, and I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about those this morning. There's a love that describes the filial love that exists between a family or brothers, and then there's a romantic love that one might have for another person. And that's described by another Greek word. But there is a Greek word, and most of you have heard it. But it's very, very important that we understand this. When Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to me, he says, this is the kind of love I want you to have for one another. It's a word that's almost uniquely, initially in this time, this word was hardly ever used in any other context other than a Christian context. In fact, in some ways, agape love was defined by Christianity. A lot of kinds of love that we have, they're described in terms of, and they're understood in terms of, what someone might do for me, or how someone might make me feel, and because of that, I love you. You make me happy. I love you because you make me feel good. I love you because I'm romantically attracted to you. There's something in you that causes me to feel a certain way in a positive way towards you. And so these other kinds of love, there's this automatic give and take that's a natural part of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to and to be motivated by is a kind of love that is not dependent on how I feel about you. It's not dependent on whether you make me happy or not. It's not dependent on whether in a given time you are lovable or not. It's a commitment to you to do right by you no matter what. It's a willingness to give. Y'all remember the song by Bruno Mars, Grenade? I printed out the words this week, and I wanted to sing it so bad because I think I could sing part of this. No, I know I'm not. But he's in love with this girl. He loves her. He's committed to her, and he says, "I gave you all I had. And you tossed it in the trash, you did." I know some of you are singing this in your head right now. "You give me all your love. Is all I ever ask, because you don't understand. I'd catch a grenade for you. I'd throw my head on a blade for you. I'd jump in front of a train for you. I know I'd do anything for you. Oh, I would go through all this pain, take a bullet straight through my brain. Yes, I would die for you, baby. I would die for you, baby. But you won't do the same. You won't do the same." There's a utilitarian view of love that says, "I'm going to give you and I'm going to do something for you based on what you can do for me. There's some benefit in it for me." But the love that Jesus is calling disciples to is something that is beyond this, "You do for me and I'll do for you, and there's this mutual kind of thing, and there's a mutual benefit." Not saying that there's not a mutual benefit, even in agape love, but agape love is this commitment. John, the same author who wrote the Gospel of John, says, "This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is." Let's look at the next verse. "Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and truth." Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one who would lay down his life for his friends. He says in this verse, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." So here's where the rub comes. How many of us have ever been, I know I haven't, How many of you have ever been in a situation where you have literally been asked to sacrifice your life for someone else? That doesn't happen very often. Now, in some instances it does. But most of the time, it doesn't. So then that leads us to say, well, you know, how do I apply this in my life? Well, he says it in the passage. He says, how can you say the love of God dwells in you? You're being moved and motivated from the heart, inside out, by love when your brother or sister has a need, and you have the ability to do something about it, and yet you don't have the pity, the action, the drive to do something about it. So this is where I want to challenge you and myself, to remind us that sometimes, to show the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, we understand that sometimes there is going to be a cost. Sometimes there is going to be a price. Sometimes there's going to be an inconvenience. We may be called to do something that is hard or difficult to do. Sacrifice for each other. It may be money, it may be our time. Had a brother call me several months ago and he said, we want to give some money to somebody at our church who's struggling right now financially. And I tell you, this family, it's not like they were rolling in dough. But they made a commitment out of their own heart and out of their own lives. They wanted to do something for someone in this body who is struggling or had a need financially. And they said, I want you to give it to them. And they don't need to know where it came from. I want to do it anonymously. Now, there are times we do things for others and they know about it. And a lot of times it involves sacrifice. You know, I was just thinking this week about our teachers here at Northeast. And okay, most of our teachers have not had the opportunity to lay down their lives physically, literally, for anyone. That opportunity has not come up. But I think of what our teachers do for our kids, for our adults, the time they put into teaching a class. And it's not easy. And yet they've taken the step, they've taken the time for the benefit of the body to teach your little ones, to teach other adults. That's not the only way to make a sacrifice. There are plenty of ways to make sacrifices. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the guys that are sitting back here, I know they don't want me to say anything, but this team, and we invite other people to be a part of this team because we don't just want to depend on four or five people to do what's going on back here. They're volunteering hours and hours and hours so that we can come together and worship God and encourage each other. So many different ways we can do that. Simple ways. Sometimes you do it in ways that others see and know. Our eldership here. Everybody knows who our elders are. But a lot of you don't see what they do when they're not here. The things they struggle with in leadership. And they want to do it, they want to serve, but I tell you, there are difficulties and sacrifices in leadership. am I a consumer more than anything else? In about 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about this idea of, you know, how we view church and our life in Jesus. And it's just so prominent today. People are asking, like, what can you do for me? What's the payoff for me? And Jesus challenges us, you, me, by saying, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And that's sacrificial. So quickly, I have three things that we can do. And we might be at different places along the way in getting that done in our lives, because we're all at different places of growth. But I tell you what, this is something that we can all do. Number one, we can all be present and reach out. And so, let me ask you this question. How can you better connect with your brothers and sisters in Jesus, with your fellow disciples? I tell you, one step is just being here, being present, being with others. And I know we're going through some extraordinary different things, but we, as I said last week, we're emerging out of this cocoon. And it's a great opportunity to ask this question, what am I doing in a practical way to connect better with others? And one way is just by your presence here is an encouragement to others. You going to a Bible class or being a part of a life group, or in this summer we're going to have food and fellowship groups, that's a practical way to take part in things that we plan and program here to get connected to others in a more practical, helpful way. Now, that leads me to my second point, is this, in terms of what can we do to build the kind of relationships and be in the situation where we can actually practice in our own lives in a practical way what Jesus is talking about. Let's go to number two. Open up and take a risk. Open up and take a risk. Now, this is a hard one. This is a tough one for a lot of people. Because I know you may be the kind of person, I'm a private person, I'm not going to, you know, I'm content with everybody out there talking about the news, the sports, and the weather, or I'm content not even talking to anybody. But we all need a connection. We all need supportive relationships in the body. And a part of that, as we grow deeper and dig deeper, there's a certain amount of vulnerability that comes with growing in a relationship. It's not all about the news, the sports, and the weather, is it? It's about life. It's about our struggles. It's about our burdens. But it's a risk to love and open up. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here in this passage as he's talking to them. Jesus says, no longer do I call you just servants, but I call you friends, because a friend knows his friend's business. He knows what he's doing. Jesus is saying, I've disclosed myself to you. I've disclosed the will of my Father to you. You have seen me, and I am open with you. I think about what Jesus said in the garden as he goes back there with Peter, James, and John. And he says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me and watch. He didn't have to tell them that, but he did. I'm not saying you share everything about your life with everybody you see, but in terms of where we're going to grow as disciples and actually helping each other and knowing each other's needs and knowing each other's struggles and ways I can help, we need to get connected at a deeper level. So I encourage you to take some steps there, and there will be some risks. There may be some risk with that, but if I disclose more of myself and who I am, and I'm not saying with everybody, but with people you develop relationships with and you trust them, it's going to help them help you, and you doing the same is going to help you help them. Do you understand the point I'm making? This is so important. And then the last thing is focus on a few. Focus on a few. You can't meet the needs of everybody. It's impossible. And so I'm not sharing this with you this morning to give you some guilt trip. If you're already up to the neck in serving and reaching out to others and doing things for others, and I know some of us are at different stages of life where maybe we're doing good to collect the kids together and just get some basic things done. But even then, we can still focus on a few. I know an older couple here that a couple of years ago, they basically adopted a younger family to encourage, to get to know, to help them with their needs. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You can't do it for everybody. You can't be everything to everybody, but you can help some. Or you can help one. I challenge you to think how you might take next steps in your life to live out what Jesus says to us as his disciples, that we are to love one another as he loves us, and to lay down our lives for each other in practical ways that make a difference in us becoming more of what he's calling us to do. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. So you're walking shoes in the Lord and following him in the way. It may not carry you 19,000 miles, but it's going to carry you to a place that you will never regret in the end. And there will be satisfaction in knowing that you've played a part in bringing others with you along the way. By loving them. There is a payoff. There is a payoff. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another as I have loved you. Your next step may be to commit your life to the Lord and be baptized into him. Your next step may be just to talk to us about some practical things we can talk about as you go deeper into your relationship with Jesus as a disciple. You may not even necessarily, and I'm speaking to those who may be online, you might not necessarily be a believer in Jesus, but you know you want to explore that deeper. And so we ask you, let us know. We want to be here for you. Love each other. Let's love each other.